Remnant, good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this July 18th, 2024. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. Lots going on, and got several news reports I printed out I want to share with you tonight. It's exciting times. It sure is, but you know, as we say and as we try to live, we sure need to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer before we do anything, before we travel, certainly before we do a broadcast. So let's do that. I hope you'll join me. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you. And thank you, Lord Heavenly Father, for this day, for this beautiful day that you've given us, this opportunity to be here, to smile, to receive your blessings and your benefits. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity here this Thursday evening to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord. Unworthy, unworthy am I, Lord, and why I get to be here, I have no idea. But Lord, here I am. I have prayed, here I am, use me. And so, Lord, I pray you would use me. I certainly need your Holy Spirit, your guidance. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Be here with us tonight as we fellowship across the airwaves, Lord. Across the country, across the world, Lord, and let all that we think, say, and do glorify you. Lord, we thank you for the exciting times that we are in. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, Lord, that love you, that desire your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, that desire your kingdom come. Lord, help us to open the eyes. Lord, we know that it is you that open the eyes. Let us help, Lord, to open the eyes and the hearts and the ears of our loved ones and those, Lord, that we meet. Lord, we see it. We see time drawing near. The day is coming shorter and shorter, Lord, and more things happening that are just jumping off the pages of your word of the Bible. Thank you for, Lord, for our pastor that went before us that paid so dearly, but Lord, that you used him to help open our eyes, Lord, that you used his common sense cowboy logic, Lord, to get to the plain people, Lord, the people that love you, that have that law written on their heart, Lord, and just needed that nudge, and so we thank you for that. Lord, I pray for the ministry here that we would continue to do that very thing, Lord, that we would not step outside of your word, but certainly, Lord, we would share what you have given us. I pray all this, Lord, to your glory. I pray for a good broadcast tonight. Lord, I pray for Miss Dottie there in the Midwest. Lord, I pray, Lord, she's in need of prayer. Don't know what's coming, Lord. We pray for life and life abundant and healing for her, strength for her son Wade and their family that are gathered. Lord, we certainly yield to your will. We know that you know best. And so, but Lord, we let our request be made known for health and healing for Miss Dottie and strength and wisdom and guidance for Wade. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Remnant, I can just tell you to pray. God hears your prayers. He answers prayers. And it is just as simple as that. He tells us that to lift, you know, to make our request known to him. He already knows, but he wants us to hear it. Is it any different with a father and a child that you know what's best for your child? You know what your child needs, whether it's food or clothing or this or that, whatever it may be. But, you know, there comes a time that when they ask, that's what you want to hear. And certainly we get that. We get that from our Heavenly Father because that's how he is. A couple scriptures I want to hear in Psalm, and then I want to go over to Luke. Let me flip over there real quick and see if that's the reference I want. I think it is. Yes. And way back in Psalm 106, verse 10, it says, "So God saved them from the hand of the one who hated them." Okay? And the reference for hand is power. So God saved them from the hand or the power of the one who hated them and redeemed them from the hand or the power of the enemy. Now, that's back in Psalm, and we know that Jesus Christ is our redemptive Savior. He is our redemption and our only salvation. But God had done this back when he delivered. He brought up Moses to deliver, and that's what the psalm is. He's retelling of the story in Egypt, rebuking the Red Sea and leading them through, and the water covering their adversaries. It says, "Then they believed his words and sang his praise." And that references, again, in Luke 1:37, Zechariah's prophecy, when he talks about it, it says in verse 70, "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old." It means as God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old. Verse 71, "Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." Verse 73, "The oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." And these two scriptures came to mind, this one in Psalm, because God does that. He, you know, back in verse 37 of Psalms 105, he brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none who stumbled. And it's what God does with his people when his people cry out. And, you know, his people today have been crying out. The families have been crying out. The widows have been crying out. And the orphans have been crying out. And the people that have had their eyes open, the remnant, have been crying out. So the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy to pray for all men, kings and those in authority, so that you can lead a quiet and tranquil life. And people have been doing that. And God hears those prayers. And so, the times that we're in, interesting times, exciting times. It really is. The Republican National Committee, or convention, is going on, and I haven't watched it. I've seen a couple little quick excerpts. We are getting volume 8 of the Dragon Slayer ready and hope to start printing it tomorrow. And I think you'll like it. We've had some really good response from the Dragon Slayers this year. We've been trying to stay on top of them. And so we're about 90% through with it. We've got some final finishes to do tomorrow and hopefully start printing it tomorrow. So we'll be down at the print shop. Certainly ask for your prayers for that, because we need your prayers and we need your support. If you like getting that newsletter, then we ask you to support us. It doesn't come, there's no charge for it, but like Pastor taught, there's no free lunch. There's not. There's a cost associated with everything. From putting the newsletter together to buying the paper that we printed on and paying for the printer and the electricity and then the postage. Oh, my gosh. Postage rate went up again just this last weekend, I think. And so it just is never ending. But thankfully, we're able to do that. We'd like to continue to be able to do that. But we need your prayers. And we need your financial support as well to do that. Some of the things I wanted to share with you that I've seen in the media that have come out that I think are different okay, that I think are new in our times, that I don't remember seeing these type of things, okay? People changing political office and being very vocal about it. God being praised in the media and it actually getting out into the media. Changes. And changes are good because we need change. Not the type of change that Obama was promising and pushed through. Not that type of change. But we do need a change back to God. Back to God. And, you know, when we read through the Old Testament, and I've talked with several people about this, several of the men, and that, you know, when we read through the Old Testament, when you had a king that did right in the sight of God, that was the term that was always used, that things went well for the people. The people were blessed. They had victory over their enemies. They had food. There was not famine or drought. And things went well. And in contrast, when you had kings that said, "Nope, we're not going to do that. We're just going to, we're going to add to it." And they did. When you had kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord, it went bad for the people. They maybe it brought out the evil, the greed, the sin in the people, I don't know. I think that it was a type of a spirit in the land. I think we've seen that. When you have a godly leader that seems to encourage others, the type that we like to see encouraged, you know, the type that like to work and pay their bills, and treat their neighbors themselves, and have respect for the country and the land and the flag and the people and things like that. And that increases. But again, the contrast, when you have an ungodly leader, it's just the other. Maybe the godly people get frustrated. I know that I do when we have ungodly leaders. And you just don't seem to see as much of the love and obedience to God and the respect and the honor and the work. Those things just seem to dissipate, to lessen. And that's where we're at today. The prices go up and it seems like the love and the compassion and all that kind of dwindles away. It doesn't go away, but it dwindles. It seems to be lesser and lesser. So when I see changes, I certainly want to share them with you. It's not any official position, but it's certainly my opinion and my thoughts from, heck, been a Christian now 32 years now. Yeah, that's been a while. Wow. Been a while. Been out here 23 years, and what a ride it's been. What a journey, and wouldn't have it any other way. But one of the things that I saw at the it was a news report from the Republican National Convention was here was a quote: "Media has lied to us about Donald Trump." Now we've heard that before. We've talked about it, but you had this feminist activist, model, actress named Amber Rose, a black woman, colored woman, abortion advocate, atheist, all types of stuff. Well, she changed and began to endorse President Trump. And they asked her to speak at the Republican National Convention. And it says here she spoke about her journey from defiant liberal to Trump supporter, a transition it says she credited to her father, who served over 20 years in the military and was in the audience supporting her there. She says, truth is truth. And, you know, God says that he would have, he said if his people wouldn't glorify him, he would have the stones glorify him, the rocks. See, God will be glorified. And if his people either won't or are not in a position to glorify him, at least, and I mean this like in the public and the media, then you know what? He will still be glorified. And if the rocks have to cry out, God will be glorified. And if this black actress, abortion advocate, self-avowed atheist can change and seek truth and all of a sudden start seeing truth and have the lies exposed, if she can start seeing the lies for what they are, maybe there's hope for others. This is what she said. She says, I'm no politician, and I don't want to be, but I do care about the truth. And the truth is that the media has lied to us about Donald Trump. I know this because for a long time I believed those lies. So I'm here to set the record straight. She said, the first person I knew who supported Donald Trump was my father. I was shocked. My family is racially diverse. I believe the left-wing propaganda that Donald Trump was a racist. And my father said, no, he's not, Amber. And when I insisted, she said, he said, prove it. So to prove my father wrong, I did my research and looked into all things Donald Trump. I watched the rallies. I started meeting many of his people. I realized Donald Trump doesn't care if you're black, white, or what. Then it hit me. These are my people. That's when I let go of my fear of judgment, of being misunderstood, of getting attacked by the left. And I put the red hat on too. I never felt more free and more love for my country than I do now. I want to thank my father. He served 20 years in the military. And she goes on and speaks as a parent wanting good for her children and stuff like that. She goes, the left told me to hate Trump and even worse, to hate the other side, the people who support him. When you cut through their lies, you realize the truth. American families were better when Donald Trump was president. We were safer, wealthier, and stronger. And so I just don't recall seeing things like this, and maybe I just don't get that enough. But these types of changes. Now, this was before his assassination attempt. This was that she came up with this. She gave a speech there, but she had, you might say, changed before then, because she's seeking truth, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Saw this here that I guess this was Monday when President Trump had got through the hospital after the assassination attempt. Actually, Sunday. It says President Trump said the doctor at the hospital said he never saw anything like it. He called it a miracle. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead. Now, that's what the president, that's a quote from him. Let me see. I thought there was something else. He says, many people are saying that by luck or by God, many people, and I'm saying it's by God that I'm here. And I've seen him give credit to God for saving him, for having it so that his head didn't explode by that person's bullet. And you know, this is nothing new. This isn't something new that just got cooked up by the Donald Trump team. Over the years, especially since not really before he became president in 2016, but after that, there was a change. I noticed a change just in what I could see. A change, it's like he accepted the responsibility, and I think he became a Christian. He became a true believer. Now, did he do everything he's supposed to do? I don't know, but I think he at least became a believer. I think he's always loved this country, and I think that he's starting to see the hand of God in all the aspects of this country and the founding of it and the blessings of it. And he has not been ashamed to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Now, is he perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. There's only been one perfect, and we hung him on a cross. And so, when you look through the Old Testament and you see the kings that came in that the Bible says did right in the sight of God, and you read on into it, none of them got it 100% right. Oh, they might shut down the groves or, you know, restore temple worship or whatever it might have been, but they couldn't get it all done. No, there were some that, you know, they still had foreign alliances, or they still had this or that going with foreign entities, or they couldn't get rid of certain groves or things like that. When you read through, you see, if you look and study it, you see none of them were perfect. David, a type of Christ, was not perfect. Far from it, but he was forgiven. And he had, you know, it says he had a love for his people. He had a heart after God's own heart. He desired God's will. You know, there's a saying also that you can tell a lot of people about, certainly about their friends, but you can tell more about people from their enemies who hate, right? And why do people hate, type of thing? You know, they hated Jesus without cause. Now, I'm not comparing Jesus, President Trump, to Jesus. And I saw an article today that said, Lauren Boebert was comparing what President Trump has gone through to what Jesus has gone through. And I call that hogwash. I don't think so. I think that's taken out of context. You can talk about him in the same breath without drawing, the same comparison. But the word says that they hated Jesus for no cause. And the word says that if we follow him, then the world as it hated him, it will hate us for following him for no cause. And there are many enemies of God and enemies of you and me. Okay, I'm not saying all Democrats, but enemies of God. Some of those circles overlap, that's for sure. But those that are pro-abortion and pro-terrorist and pro-gun control and pro-against the Constitution and pro-destroying America. And you know it by their actions, not by their words, not by what they say. They say one thing and do another. These are enemies of God and enemies of you and enemies of me. And they're rampant in the land because we've allowed them to be. We've grown fat and happy and kicked. Our generation and the one before us and the one before that and the one before that. And because we have not been diligent watchmen on the wall, this has happened. It is our fault. It is we have caused it. with our sin and turning away from God and forgetting His law and letting the bastards in the pulpits preach that God's law has been done away with. And they take that out of context, whereas in Psalms it says that your law, O Lord, is eternal. That don't mean taken away. Eternal. And even Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. See, that's not preached. That's not taught. Oh, no, brother. This is what you have to understand. And they twist it and they turn it around. Let me tell you, Hosea 4:6, where he says, you forget my law and I'll forget your children. That scripture is just as important as John 3:16. In God's eye. Maybe not in man. But see, with man, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I get our point. The conflict, we see that these enemies of God have a hatred for this man. And just like this one woman said, the left tells them, you got to hate Trump and hate the people that follow him. See, there's a hatred there. That is scriptural, people. It is scriptural. One of their own, at least a convert, is telling us that. Let me bring that article back up and read it again. Let me find it. The left said to me to hate Trump, and even worse, to hate the other side, the people who support him. But when you cut through the lies, you realize the truth. American families were better when Donald Trump was president. They hate us. Why do they hate us? Because we love Jesus Christ. Because we are of Adam. We are of those called by his name, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Christians, not Israelites, not God ones, but those that follow Christ's. Christ, Christ's sons, Christians. Those of Christ. Now certainly, there's different levels of that, and it's not everyone. But those that proclaim Christ, have you heard of Biden proclaim Christ? No, you see him making the Catholic sign and promoting abortion. Absolute blasphemy. You saw that from Obama. You saw that from the Clintons. By their fruits, you shall know them. By their fruits. And like I said, it's also by their enemies. So I do believe that Saturday afternoon that this country witnessed a divine intervention, an absolute miracle from God. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. Whether you believe the word or not, whether you believe that Jesus Christ died, was crucified and buried and rose, defeated death and rose 3 days later, whether you believe that or not does not matter, because it happened. It happened. There were hundreds that witnessed it. There were those that went to violent deaths to stand on that truth. Time itself, up until just the last little bit of time, right? Time itself has been determined as before then or after. Time itself. So whether you believe it or not makes no difference. It happened. Whether you believe he parted the Red Sea, whether you believe he was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, does not matter, because it happened. And I know, Remnant, you tuned in. I'm not speaking ill against you. You know that it happened. You do believe it. But you know just like I do, whether we believe it or not, because there might have been a time in our life we didn't believe it, but it still happened. It's still truth. And as Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the truth is, this nation, the world, saw a miracle. A saving from the hands of those that hate him on Saturday afternoon. There was a pastor. Let me see if I got it. I think I do have it here. Yeah, here it is. Here it goes. Okay. A black Detroit pastor, Lorenzo Sewell, born and raised on the east side of Detroit. I think it was today. Talked about how Jesus changes lives. He talks about how President Trump came to Detroit to his church, which is in a Democratic stronghold, and came to not speak to us, but to listen to us. Boy, there's a change, right? Because most of your politicians, they want to just get up on the soapbox and tell you how much that they love you and what they're going to do for you. And so this pastor says Trump came on his birthday weekend to the hood because he cares about average Americans. This pastor, Sewell, says that what President Trump asked for that day on his birthday was prayers. And he says that only God knew that 30 days later, after they prayed for him, there would be a miracle by a millimeter, and how that millimeter allowed Trump to be here today. And then he goes on, and this pastor talks about God's providence and Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord. And so, again, this is nothing new. This is just from somebody different that is seeing this. Now, you can believe it or not. You can believe it or not. You know, there were many cases during battle and war that soldiers would be, saved by some miracle like that. Many would, had lined Bibles in their pockets. And I can remember seeing in my lifetime Bibles that contained bullets that were shot. And the bullets in the Bible collided, and the Bible saved the life of the person that was carrying it. I don't know if you've ever heard Dr. Martin. We've got it on CD, but it's called 3 Days and 3 Nights in the Deep. And Dr. Martin gave that talk at, I think at the church one time. He was a fighter pilot, went down, had his aircraft carrier shot out from underneath him in Midway, and went down in the water and spent 3 days and 3 nights in the water, surrounded by sharks. And he lived to tell about it. And he went back to flying, and he got shot down again and landed on an island, and then got captured by man-eating cannibals and survived. And those were miracles of God. And I remember when he told about it, he gave credit to God for those things. And he lived a long and prosperous life. And you got people today that say, oh, no, it was a conspiracy. It didn't really happen. See, what happened was this, blah, 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 blah. And it was this, blah, 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 blah. See, people are in such rebellion and they don't even know it. That it's just they'll give credit to anything but God. Anything but God. And they become just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Jesus' day when he healed. And they saw the blind given sight. And those people in that day, they saw the lame that had been lame since birth. They saw them get up and walk. And go leaping and praising God. They saw the withered hand restored. They saw leprosy cured, healed, and they did not believe. So if you want to be like them, and again, Remnant, I know I'm not talking to you, but I'm hopefully giving you some ammunition and some tools that you can share with others, that if they want to be like them and see and not believe, okay, that's fine. It doesn't change anything. See, the scripture says, he who believes shall be saved. You ever heard that one? He who believes shall be saved. And it's true. Now, that's not the only thing the Scripture says, but Scripture is true. Scripture is true. And I believe, I know that God saves. I know that Jesus saves. And he saved President Trump. Now, you got to look at the other side here. Let's see, what was it? The left is, who was it? Politico. Politico is saying, they're deifying the former president. Republicans embrace divine intervention for Trump's near miss into martyrdom. His supporters embrace of divine intervention further solidifies Trump's position as not just a leader, but one is viewed as chosen, perhaps by perhaps a higher power to save the country. See, they mock God. They mock God. In contrast, Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina said the devil came to Pennsylvania holding a rifle, but an American lion got back up on his feet and roared. And if you don't believe in miracles before Saturday, you better be believing right now. You read here. Here's another quote. I thank God that his hand was on President Trump. Here's another one. We thank God for protecting our next president, Donald Trump. President Trump, this is a quote from him. He says, thank you to everyone for your thoughts and prayers yesterday. As it was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening, we will fear not, but instead remain resilient in our faith and defiant in the face of wickedness. So believe it or not, it's up to you. It's up to you. Now, we've had people that have asked to be taken off the ministry because they say we just deify Trump and we worship him, and we do not. But that's okay. We take him off the ministry if that's what you want. I'm just giving you an example. God's giving you an example. You know, there's the old story about the flood that comes and the old Christian man, old Connecticut Yankee kind of in King Arthur's court almost, but he has to get up to his attic and out on his roof, and here's the water coming. And pretty soon a canoe comes by. The old man's praying, Lord, save me. And a canoe comes by, and they say, hey, come on out. We got room for you. And the old man says, no, God's going to save me. And the canoe says, okay. The people in the canoe. And then pretty soon a big old boat comes by, a National Guard. And they say, come on, man, we'll take care of you. Come on. He says, no, I prayed. God's going to save me. National Guardsmen just take off in the boat. Pretty soon a helicopter comes, shining a big old light, and they drop a ladder. Hey, come on, we'll save you from this flood. Water's coming up. The old stubborn Yankee says, nah, God's going to save me. And he dies. Somehow he gets to heaven. He asks old St. Peter, what happened? You know, Lord, I thought I prayed to you. I believed you. I went to church all the time. What's the deal? Why didn't you save me? You know how the story goes. And God says, I sent a canoe and a boat and a helicopter. You idiot. That's a little paraphrase, but that's how it is. And so are we so hard-hearted? Are we so sure in our understanding that we can't acknowledge a miracle from God? That we can't say, thank you, Lord, that you spared this man's life? You know, I mentioned it Sunday, but we used to have it taught in history course, but in the French Indian Wars before the American Revolution, before George Washington was General George Washington, okay, he was in the French and Indian Wars, and there was one battle that he came through unscathed, and he had 4 bullet holes in his jacket, and he had 2 horses shot out from underneath him. This is George Washington. And it was rumored and said in the Indians that they, you know, as time went on and peace was made, that they wanted to meet this man that could not die. And but see, none of that is taught anymore. See, those miracles used to be taught. And so why did George Washington get to go through that? Well, I'm sure it humbled him. I'm sure it taught him lessons. And I think that he saw that, you know, well, whether he saw it or not, it happened, that God had a plan for George Washington to deliver this country from British rule. And he did. And I think that very same thing, that God must have a plan for President Trump. Now, if it's not the type of deliverance we got from George Washington, well, might be. But I, you know, when you just add everything up, again, Trump is not perfect. Trump is not the savior. He'll tell you that. I remember seeing, what was it? It's been a little while now, but seeing him at a press conference and saying, you know, people are telling me I'm the most, my name's the most famous, and I'm the most famous person in the world. And he said, no, far from it. He said, let me tell you who the most famous person in the world is, Jesus Christ. Now, you didn't hear that from Clinton, and you didn't hear that from Obama, and you didn't hear that from O'Biden, and you didn't even hear that way back from Reagan, certainly not Carter, certainly not Gerald Ford, certainly not Nixon, not the other leaders that we've had, but you've heard it from this guy. And you've seen God save him. Now, whether you believe it or not, again, it's up to you. It doesn't change anything, but it's up to you. But we are living in exciting times. And we need to be in prayer for each other. We need to be in prayer for our families. You know, I can tell you a quick story. You know, there's a lot of fighting going on all over the world, especially out in the Ukraine. And I can tell you a story about a young man that was over fighting in the Ukraine, and a Christian man, family praying for him. And they were out on patrol. He was there kind of with the Foreign Legion, you might say. And they were out on a patrol, and they were moving pretty quick, two of them. So this American and his friend from the Ukraine that he had met and trained with. And so the Americans following the Ukrainian, and they're kind of running toward a river, okay? And the American told me this story. And he said he saw some wire over on the right, like some, you know, torn up fence posts and some smooth wire. And he thought, you know, I sure don't want to get tangled up in that. So he's running, following the Ukrainian. The Ukrainian gets down to the riverbank and starts down the riverbank. And about that time, the American gets tangled up in some wire. He didn't see it. And he's running. And he's loaded down. Guns, rocket launcher, all kind of stuff. And he falls hard. Boom, hits the ground. And he said when he did, he heard an explosion from up ahead. And he saw dirt flying and stuff falling all over him. And he said he looked up, and his buddy the Ukrainian had stepped on a landmine coming down the slope of that, coming down to the river. And it blew his buddy's foot off. And but he described to me, he said, but the way that these mines are set, he said they explode upwards. And he said his buddy was running, so as his foot hit it, he had just passed it, so all it caught was his foot. You know, that as he was running, he had just moved past it, his back foot hit it, and that's what blew the foot off. He said, but the way that mine was is it blew upward. And he said, if I had not had tripped on that wire, I'd have been right behind him. And it would have caught me full force and killed him. And he said, God saved me. Now, you don't have to believe that. Not your testimony, but I believe it. See, I know the prayers that were offered up for that person. And I know the God that answers those prayers. Whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. But he still answers prayers. Romans 8:28 has not changed. He works all things for good for those that love God. We don't always like those all things, but he works all things for good for those that love him. And we are privileged and honored to serve a God like that, to have had our eyes opened to that kind of power that our God has, and that kind of power that he wants us to use, that power of faith and belief. Now, does that mean we get our way all the times? No. No. But we should be encouraged, and we should do what we can do. And that is to have faith. That is to pray. That is to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. That is to love our neighbor as ourself. That is to do our best to encourage others to love and good deeds, to pray for one another. We prayed for Miss Dottie. Miss Dottie and Mr. Wade, we've known them for years. We've seen them at camp. We've met them there. They've been out to the church a few times. They've had a tough go of it lately. Miss Dottie, she's older, and her son Wade takes care of her. Good Christian people. Keep them in prayer. It's tough times right now. It is. We certainly pray for life and life abundant, and that should be what we desire. But see, it's his will, and it's his way. And his way is best. I've said it before, it kind of comes to mind that and I just got a text that Miss Dottie's taking another turn for the worse. So just, Lord, we lift up the whole situation to you, Father. Many of us have gone through that very situation. We pray your strength for Wade and his family. Lord, we know that Miss Dottie, Lord, loves you. She praises you, and she has done what your word says to do, Lord, to be right with you. And so, Lord, we lift her up to you. And if it is her time, we pray for peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that peace that the world knows not, but that you so graciously allow us to know through you, through your grace and mercy. And we thank you for that. We pray your Holy Spirit to be there to strengthen them during this time, to encourage them, to be there with them, Lord, in this time. And we thank you for it. And we praise you, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, it's like the story we have of David when his little child was sick. And he prayed, and he fasted, and he cried out to God. And he accepted God's will, because he knew that God knew best. And he knew Romans 8:28. Oh, he might not have had it like we have it as scripture, but he knew it. And he lived it. And he accepted it. And he knew that God worked all things for good for those that love him. That's what we should be striving to do, to love him. You know, we have several... I know several Christians running for office, public office, school boards and county commissions and city commissions and mayors and things like that. You know, Remnant, pray for godly leaders. God will hear your prayers. Pray for godly leaders in this land. The scripture says that if we do that, we can lead a quiet and tranquil life. The benefit comes back to us. And there's other benefits as well. Oh, God, give us godly leaders. We desire godly leaders, Lord. Protect our godly leaders. Draw our leaders to you. Draw them to your truth and to godliness and holiness. Well, Remnant, I'm out of voice. That's all I got for you tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Our email, preacher@sfaw.org. Remember, our mailing address, SFA, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And hopefully you'll join us Saturday morning for coffee. We'd love to have a cup of coffee with you Saturday morning right here, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. for you West Coasters. And we'll have the phone lines open. We'll talk to you then. And Sunday morning as well. God bless. We'll talk to you Saturday morning.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say.